afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Tuesday, July the 12th, 2016, 1:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we have had an interesting couple weeks here in the United States, to say the least. All started last week with two African-American gentlemen being killed in altercations with police officers, and then, of course, the shooting in Dallas where a sniper murdered five police officers, and it has put the country into a discussion. Black Lives Matter, that group is involved. Protesters are involved. Politicians are making statements. So it's all out there. And a gentleman who we had on the show earlier on this year is probably best known as the dancing cop, Tony Lepore. But Tony had a little issue with Black Lives Matter a few years ago. We're going to recount that before we get into the story here. And Tony, of course, is also a former police officer, so he can cue us in on some of these things that maybe he's noticed in these videos or what's happened and give a much better perspective than we can. It's our great pleasure to welcome the dancing cop, Tony Lepore, to these microphones. Tony, how are you?
Good. How are you, Scott?
Hey, good. Good to speak with you again. Tony, before...
Well, wonderful day in Rhode Island, 80 degrees, and I'm sitting in my screen house.
Hey, here in Ohio, it's 88, and when we get a better temperature than you guys, we feel good.
Yeah, right.
Tony, for people who didn't hear, and I was a fantastic interview we did earlier on this year, but it had a lot to do with Black Lives Matter. And before we get into the current events of last week, I want you to tell that story in kind of the best way you can. What happened with you in Black Lives Matter and where it stands today?
Okay. Originally, I boycotted an establishment where there was a person working there that put Black Lives Matter on a coffee cup and handed it to a police officer. And I boycotted, well, I had 5,000 people on my Facebook page. I boycotted that Dunkin' Donut. And eventually what happened was we picketed. I'll make it a short. We picketed the place because they never gave us an apology. The owner never gave us an apology to the police officer. No one in the whole town said anything about it. No one came to this policeman's aid. It was the mayor, the commissioner, the chief, no one. So I have a group called Citizens for Police on Facebook, and we picketed, okay? And I wasn't picketing as a police officer because I'm retired now. I was picketing as a civilian. And what actually happened, every Christmas I do the Christmas celebration in Providence, and I do traffic 10 days during the Christmas season. And I've done it for 32 years, and they canceled me. The politicians took the side of the Black Lives Matter. And since then, as you can see, many, 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 many things has happened, and I don't have egg on my face, Scott. They do, and if they justify this group, there's something wrong with them, because you can't justify them. They are a racist group and radicals. Now, there are some people that follow them, and sometimes they're not informed, and they're peaceful. But there's many radicals in this group, as you saw what happened last weekend. And that's not the first time. I mean, they wrecked towns and cities. They burned down buildings. Now they're shooting cops. And we had another incident yesterday. And it goes on and on. I beg the politicians to stop taking sides one way or another. Calm the public down. Look, it's all going to come out in the wash. It's going to go to court. Like that first incident with the two officers. Now they find out they exonerated the two officers because he had a gun. And that's what he was reaching for. This other person that shot the subject in the car. I think there was a young lady with him. They finding out that he may be involved in a holdup 2 days before, and maybe he was reaching for that gun that he said that he was carrying. But who knows? That could be a lot of baloney that was thrown the police officer. That investigation is ongoing. But the other two officers, as I read yesterday, they were exonerated.
Now,
it goes on and on, you know, with this Black Lives Matter.
Now, that being said, Tony, you called Black Lives Matter a racist group. Why are they a racist group?
Because they go around chanting pigs in a blanket, fried leg bacon. What do we need? Dead cops. What do we need? Dead cops. What is that? What do we need? Dead cops. What is that?
But
they are a radical group. They want, and the shooter last weekend said he was out to kill white cops.
That's
a radical racist group. I mean, how can you even discuss it?
Well, that's
nothing to black people, white people, or anybody. They don't go into the cities and help any black people. They haven't done anything for society but cause trouble ever since they existed 2 years ago.
That being said, Tony, I think what somebody might ask would be, certainly walking around chanting anything about killing cops would be wrong, and I don't think anybody would justify that.
Exactly.
But, I mean, aren't there Hispanic cops? Aren't there African-American cops? So isn't, I mean, why is it racist and not just in poor taste?
Well, I've had discussions on the radio with Black Lives Matter when all that stuff was going on, and one young lady says, officers have no face. In other words, you could be white or black, it doesn't matter. And yet, as you saw, there were black officers killed by black people.
Right.
Okay?
So why is it a racist group then? If by their own admission, they admit the officer has no face. Now, I'm not saying they don't have a bias toward police officers, but why is it racist?
Well, he said he was out to kill white cops. Isn't that racist?
Well, the one gentleman, yes. But why is the whole group, when the spokesperson says that the cop is faceless, the ethnicity doesn't matter, why is the whole group racist?
Because they target police officers, and most of them target white police officers. Now, don't tell me that they thought that was a white police officer or not. They just shoot at the uniform. And as far as I'm concerned, when you are out there with a black or white group, just like the KKK, and you advocate white or black, you're a racist group as far as I'm concerned.
Right, but now,
anytime you put your race on a title, you're a racist group because you're not an American. You're against white people. And white KKK, they're against black people. They're a racist group. Once you put black or white or yellow or red and title your group, you're racist because you're against all other nationalities. And when you show, and on top of it, when you show violence, you're a racist group.
Now, the Anti-Defamation League, which is primarily against things that are anti-Jewish or anti-Israel, is that a racist group?
Yes.
That's a racist group as well.
Right.
Even though they're protecting the rights of people not to have bigoted things said against them.
Well, I think this is the way I feel. We're all Americans. Why do we have to constantly project nationalities or races? We shouldn't have to do that. And when we do, we're showing separation. And that's what the problem is.
There's
too much separation in this country.
When we
and politicians fuel it. Politicians fuel it because they have agendas.
So
they don't come out and make these situations. They don't try and calm these situations down. They add fuel to the fire constantly.
I certainly understand the point you're making about separation. Now, that being said, when Donald Trump says Muslim, when he says Mexican, is he a racist?
Well, I don't know. You know, it depends on how he's directing it. If he's directing it in a certain way, yes. It's how you direct your question or how you direct your answer. You know, he says Muslims. I don't think he means Muslims per se. I have many Muslim friends and many black friends who are against Black Lives Matter. I just gave away my adopted daughter this weekend, and of course she's black, and she is my adopted daughter. We had a wonderful wedding, and and those people are against Black Lives Matter because they know that group is not for them. Go around the ghettos. Go around the ghettos. Drive around the inner city. Has it changed in the last 8, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years? No. Why? Because these people have no jobs. They keep throwing money at them, enough to live on, and that makes them comfortable, and then they get involved in other activities.
I think the problem people would have with this, Tony, is when you paint with a broad brush, because the problem is that when you say Black Lives Matter and the Ku Klux Klan and the Anti-Defamation League are racist groups because they cause separation, then when you say Donald Trump, who says Muslims should not enter this country, and we're going to build a wall against Mexicans, and this Mexican our judge cannot try my case fairly, based strictly because he is Mexican.
Well,
that's separation.
Right, you're exactly right. But when it comes to the security of this country, you have to do what you have to do. And Jimmy Carter did the same thing. Jimmy Carter shut down the borders, too, when we had the hostage situation. When you are talking about safety, there's certain measures you have to do. And if some nationalities or races don't agree, they should, because it's for their safety, too.
Well,
Okay.
No, and I'm glad we're having this conversation, because I think people do need to hear civil conversations like this. And I think one of the problems with that is, when it comes to what Donald Trump says, and I don't want to make this about Donald Trump.
No, I don't either. I don't want to make this a political direction. I really don't.
Right, but the problem is when he says Mexicans and Muslims. Okay, illegal immigration is a problem in this country, without question.
Exactly.
He's saying Mexican and Muslim. He never says Canada. He never says Great Britain. He never says Syrian. He just says Mexican and Muslim, and that is a separation. If he just said illegal immigration, it wouldn't be that way.
All right, you're right, but those are the two nationalities, apparently, that is causing problems in this country. The young lady that was shot with her father that day, many people were beaten by many immigrants coming over from Mexico. You see what's happening with the Muslims are coming over, but they're not. I'm talking about radical Muslims. I'm not. What we have to do is, it's like a plumber. Shut the water off, then we'll fix the pipes. Shut the water off, put up the wall, then fix the pipes. That's what he's saying. Now, believe me, I know Donald Trump sometimes says things that he really doesn't mean, or where the media can pick the heck out of them, but he usually comes back later and he corrects all those mistakes. I don't think he means Muslims, period. And I don't think he means Mexicans, period. I have so many friends, Mexican and Muslim. We talk just like we are now today, you know. And we agree and disagree, but it always ends, you know, happily. And they feel better because they know my side and I know their side. And I understand their side. Even the welfare system in this country is crazy. I mean, people come here and they're not legal, okay? And they want to find a job, but they can't. They're in a catch-22because they're not legal. And when they go look for a job, they can't because they have no driver's license and no social security number. So they put them in a catch-22 to the point where they're on welfare forever. And that, and how I know is one of my best friends that comes here tells me that. Tony, I can't find a job. They won't hire me because I'm illegal. My children aren't, but I am. But they put them in a catch-22 where they can't get work and they stay on welfare. They don't want to stay on welfare. They don't want to live in a facility like a project. They want to buy a house. They want to do something like we do, and they can't. So they came here illegally. The government let them. They opened the border for them. Now they can't work. And that's really, 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 real. That's like being in prison. And a lot, that's what's happening in the black community. Those people can't find jobs. And a lot of it, Scott, is work. We don't have any jobs in this country for people that are not educated. We don't have enough of those jobs. We're not educating the people. We're not educating them to find those good jobs. And that's what we have to do. And some politicians say they're going to do it. Some politicians say they're not going to do it. But the politicians that said they were going to do it for the last 30 years haven't. And that's what's happening. And I think the American people now are starting to understand what is going on.
Tony, because I do want to spend the last 25 minutes of this conversation on, because I want to get a perspective of a police officer in these two shootings that happened, since everybody's seen the video. But I do want to draw one more conclusion here, because and just ask you this question. When we had the thing out in San Bernardino last Christmas, that's radical Muslim. When we had the thing down in Orlando earlier this year, that's radical Muslim. When the guy shoots the police officers in Dallas, why is that not a radical member of that group?
Well, I'm not saying that he's not. I'm not saying he's not. Maybe they merged. Who knows? We don't know. You know, we're not getting a lot of information on the radicals, in country radicals. We're not getting a lot of information on it. We're getting a lot of information on what police officers do, but we don't get a lot of information on these groups. Are they connected? Are they separate? They may be part of the Muslim radical group, too. We don't know. I mean, when you have two, three, four, we have many radical groups in this country. We don't know if they merged. They may have. We don't know.
I guess,
and we're not getting any information on it, Scott.
I guess the inference I was drawing there was when we started out talking about the gentleman, don't even want to call him a gentleman, who killed the five police officers and injured more, we were speaking to him as a representation of Black Lives Matter and what that group stands for. I think most people feel, I don't think the Black Lives Matter group would endorse him any more than the Muslim religion would endorse... What went on in San Bernardino?
Well, they do advocate pigs in a blanket, fried like bacon. What do we want? Dead cops? I mean, if you're chanting that, Black Lives Matter, how can you not connect that shooter with them? That demonstration drew the police down there, and they were perfect targets. It was like ducks on the water.
That's true, but something about that I don't understand is that very same night, and I was watching CNN right along with everybody else, we had protests in D.C., we had protests in Minnesota, we had protests in New York, and we had them in Dallas, all at the same time. And not during one of those protests, and these were all Black Lives Matter groups, essentially, not one of those protests, and there were police everywhere, not one of those protests, except the one in Dallas from this one sniper, did any of those other protesters, white, black, green, purple, none of them harmed anybody or advocated for the harming of police that day. Except
They blocked streets and 100 of them got arrested. I forget what town it was. They blocked streets. You can't do that. I mean, block streets, stop rescues from going through, stop fire trucks from going through, stop the public from doing their business. You can't do that. I mean, that part of it right there. But, like I said, there are some peaceful demonstrators in Black Lives Matter, their organization. I'm not saying there isn't. And they really, really believe in what their direction is. But there are radicals, and there are people in that group that will do what that gentleman, I'm not going to call him a gentleman, that person did Friday night. I think it was Friday night. And that's the problem. That's the problem. Now, if Black Lives Matter, if they singled out these people and brought them to justice, that'd be a different story. Then we could sit down and talk to them. But when you go out there and chat harm on police officers, then there's a shooting. What more can we think? What more can we? If they are a calm group and they're not going to go out there and chant what they chanted, and they're going to bring these people to justice and help the police, then we could sit down. But as long as there's police officers out there getting killed, ambushing and on and on and on, it's just ridiculous. I mean, this has never, ever happened in this nation before up to 2 years ago.
The police, that's ridiculous. The police chiefs, and you're right, the police chief in Dallas said, because he was the one who spoke with the killer that day, and that's what we'll call him, because that's what he was. The killer of the five police officers, he's the one who spoke with him. We don't have it on tape, we don't have it on audio, but I'll take the police chief word for it, that he said the reason the killer killed those men is because he was avenging what happened, and he wanted to kill white cops. Okay, so we have to go back here, the chicken and the egg. Okay, that would not have happened, probably wouldn't have happened, because there wouldn't have been a protest, if the two gentlemen, African-American gentlemen, who were killed on Tuesday and Thursday of last week and videos shown on television, did not happen. Not that that justifies it, but it wouldn't have happened out of the police chief's mouth and the killer's mouth. So, why did those events happen on Tuesday and Thursday?
Well, there are groups out there waiting for any kind of development like that, and that's the problem sometimes. But I knew this summer was not going to be a good summer with the demonstrations. But I never knew never thought it would be this bad. Okay, because it's an election season, and of course, every organization goes for one candidate or the other. But I never thought it was going to get this bad, and there are groups out there wait for a trigger. And the trigger happened when those two police officers first shot that gentleman, and apparently he did have a gun, and they didn't show that on the film. Well, guess me, Scott. Nobody waits for the investigation to end, and even when the investigation is over, it's a bogus investigation. Some people you just can't show them. You can't show them statistics or proof, and they'll still think everything's bogus. And and then they continue doing what they're doing. It's just this whole country is a disarray, and that's because of our leadership. Okay, our leadership is awful. They don't. The president, he doesn't calm people down. He adds fuel to the fire. He did this right after those shootings. He should have waited for those two investigations. What he should have said was, calm down, okay? Let the police investigate it. I'm going to bring my people down there also to make sure it's a correct investigation before we do anything or anything happens. Keep calm. No. It's the other way around.
Tony,
the officers dips, and they got to take guns away from the people, and gun control comes into it all the time. Go ahead, Scott.
I understand what you're saying, Tony, but and preface it with this: what the guy did in Dallas is not condoned. You don't shoot anybody, and you certainly don't shoot police officers.
No.
But
no.
I don't know that it was just the two events. I think if you go back to the first time a beating of a black man was videotaped, 1992, the L.A. riots.
That was awful.
Yes, and the police officers got off. And then we had a period...
I'll tell you, some of those police officers should have got some kind of treatment to the point where they were taken off the street or something like that. Okay,
but
that was awful.
That happened, and that added fuel to the fire. Then we had a period where there wasn't anything, and then we had a seminal moment with the Trayvon Martin case, because it did divide the country into people who supported Trayvon Martin and people who supported the other gentleman. Now, the other gentleman gets off, but then recently he goes and sells the gun that he killed the boy with, and says it like that. I want to get more money out of this because this is the gun that I killed him with. Then we have things that happen in Baltimore, and the guy.
Those are two different situations, though, Scott. When you go to court for killing somebody and you're justified, okay, we don't know that person's personality, so we don't know his personality. He wasn't a very nice gentleman either, okay? But he got off because the courts got him off, and they felt that he was protecting himself after he got his head smashed on the sidewalk 10 times, you know? And they thought that he was justified by shooting him. But we don't know his character other than that incident, you know?
Exactly. And I'm not saying the justice system did wrong. It did what it's supposed to do, much like what it did with O.J. Simpson. But then we have Baltimore. And then we have things like this, and it's always an African-American. And there's never any justification really given on the police's side. So when you get to this past week, you know, there's a saying that nothing was ever created that didn't need to be created out of a problem. Now, should this group be murdering people? No, and I think that was a radical member. But I think the group came out of several situations in 25 years that had no answer.
Yeah, you're right. But, you know, Scott, if you look at every situation, and you know, like you said, character, you were talking about this character who went out and sold his gun. He's a character too. But if you look at every situation and look at every subject that was shot, they have a long police record. The police know them. They know they're out for trouble because that's what they do. They're drug dealers, on and on and on and on. And when you start sticking up for drug dealers and people that start trouble, then you lose your credibility as a group. If you're sticking up for black people, period, then that's different. But you got to remember something. Blacks are killing blacks every day. Every 14 days in Chicago, a black person is killed. Okay, by another black person. So it's a city is really it's a war zone. And when they put police officers in there, they try. They believe me. I've been in those neighborhoods. I worked those neighborhoods. And the kids knew who I was. And we had a good rapport. I used to get, of course, we had shootings. But there was more respect for the police then. I'm talking like the 60s and early 70s and early 80s when I was on the street. And the people have much more respect. They have no respect whatsoever. And it comes from the top. If your government respects the police officers, and of course we have some bad police officers. There are some that I didn't even want to ride with, okay? Because I couldn't stand the way they operated. But there's not that many, okay? Because if there were as many as they say there were, they are, there'd be a shooting every night. There'd be a black person shot every night. And most of the shootings are during an incident, okay? And it's not that they're going into neighborhoods shooting black people. The riot in Baltimore, a young lady, a little kid, 11 years old, she got shot, and nobody mentioned it. I never knew about it, but they kept going on with the police officers shooting people and pushing people around, but they never mentioned that. I had to read really deep that a 10-year-old was doing her homework, and a black crowd, someone had a gun, went through the wall and killed her. Okay? Nobody mentioned that. Black Lives Matter didn't mention that. How about Black Lives Matter getting a little involved in the community and worrying about their own people killing each other all the time?
Tony,
why don't they get involved with that instead of worrying about what the police are doing?
Well, Tony, if because we're talking about character here in these situations over the last 25 right. years, with the gentlemen who have died because right. of their character, should they right. have been murdered?
If the policemen are protecting themselves, of course.
Were the two policemen last week protecting themselves?
They were wrestling around with the subject. They got him down on the ground. And one officer yelled, "He's got a gun." And he was trying to take the gun out of his pocket. And they shot him.
But when he's
And now they're vindicated. But nobody's... Have you heard that yet? They've been vindicated?
If that happened today, I haven't seen it. But it quite possibly... Yeah.
They're vindicated. Believe me, Scott. They're vindicated. Okay? They're vindicated. Believe me. And that's what happened here. There was another film put out by Blue Lives Matter. And I got it, and it was an opposite. You could actually see the gun. So that's what that's why they shot him. Okay, it wasn't because it was a wrestling match. Believe me, they saw a gun, and that's when the shooting started.
This is an important point from a police officer. Is this protocol that because so many people have concealed carry? Right. Licenses in this country. Ohio is a concealed carry state where we sit right now. So if you have a gun on you, is that the protocol of the officer, if it's not pointed at you, because this one was not, and it hadn't been fired, and the gentleman's on the ground, to shoot him in the chest?
Definitely, if he's going for that gun during a wrestling match. Definitely. Definitely. And they probably knew the subject. I'm not saying they did, but they probably knew the subject and his activities before this happened. Okay, definitely. I want to go home. I want to go home to my family. Now, if I see somebody pulling a gun on me, they're going down, and that's it.
Why is this not happening? How come these videos don't happen with white people? These crimes don't happen with white people? Because I assume white people are getting pulled over.
They do. And more white people are being killed by police officers than blacks. They do. If you look the stats up, compared to whites and Hispanics, they're way above the black shootings. That's why this is an agenda. That's how I feel. Because First of all, the phone videos, you can't go by a phone video. There was another phone video, and it showed differently, but you just can't go by. The police officers, I think, were wearing cams also, camera cams, and that, I think, helped a lot in that situation. But the statistics I never brought out about white criminals getting killed and Hispanics getting killed, because there's a lot of Hispanics getting killed, but it's always about the black, because that's the agenda, and that's the agenda of the politicians, and that's what they're pushing for. And it's minute compared to the police officers that have been killed this year.
Right,
but what the police officers killed, how many police officers that killed blacks, and how many blacks killed police officers? Well, there's 20-something already police officers this year.
This is true, but I think what the correct statistic is that a young black man, because there are just more Caucasians in the United States currently than...
Oh, no, I understand that.
But so when you take it down to a percentage, a young black man is 21 more times more likely to be killed by police than a young white man. 21 more times. Why?
Because you're involved in crime more.
Were these two gentlemen last week? Okay, we talked about the gentleman who was on the ground. The guy who was in the car with his girlfriend and the kid in the back.
Okay, even, that's a different situation.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, he told the officer that he was concealed carry holder. So
right.
I don't think if you were going to shoot the officer, you'd let them know you had a gun.
Right.
And he had the wife in the car, the daughter in the car, and it's broad daylight.
Right.
Did that officer act correctly?
Well, it's under investigation right now, and I'm not going to make any statements on that. But right now, that subject may have been involved in a drugstore, not a drugstore, a convenient gas station robbery. They have the film. That's still under investigation. I don't want to make any statements on that. I don't know the situation. I don't know what the police officer, what information he had on that car or that subject. He didn't stop it only for a broken taillight. He stopped it because the subject fit a description of that person that robbed that convenience store 2 days before.
So I
don't really want to make the reason why I got on to the other one, Scott, because I have a lot more information. But this one here, I don't want to touch it because I don't know what happened.
Right, and I understand, and I've heard that report too, that he could have been involved in a robbery. But I think the problem is that even if that's true, and we'll wait to see what the investigation said, even if that's true, we do know that he let the officer admits that he told him he was a concealed carry weapon holder. He'd already let him know. Is robbing a convenience store and a busted taillight combination, whatever reason he was pulled over in broad daylight, that ever reason police protocol to shoot somebody?
If the police officer thinks she's going for that gun, there was more to it. Okay. See, someone said he went for his billfold. Somebody, we don't know. Okay. He could have been going, he could have told that officer that, and he didn't have a concealed carry. That we don't know. I don't even know he had a license on him or anything like that.
Well, that's
why I don't want to get into that, there's a lot of ands, ifs in this, and I don't know what happened, and I really, because I don't want to make any decisions on what the police officer should have done or what shouldn't have done, but I'll tell you one thing. If I stopped somebody with a concealed, and he told me, I would tell him, you keep your hands on that steering wheel, and if you move your hands, you're going to be in trouble. That's what I would tell him. Now, I don't know if that was said or anything like that. I don't want to go any further than that. But I have stopped somebody with a conceal, and I knew who he was because he was a representative, but he did have a concealed. And that was no problem after I found out he was a representative. But I said to you, keep your hands on that steering wheel.
Right.
And don't even go for your license. Don't go for your license. Don't go for your registration.
Exactly.
Okay? And I called for a backup before I even went any further.
And I think you're...
And when the other two police officers came, that's when I went into his glove compartment.
I think that's where it is. And I think that, because we're down to the last 5 minutes of a fascinating conversation.
Yeah, wow.
I know, it blows by, doesn't it? And
I should have invited you over. We could have had lunch.
I know we could have. We could have done something nice in that 80-degree weather. But the thing I think that's most problematic here, and maybe where the Black Lives Matter group is coming from, and I can't speak for them, but is that it is... Even in both cases that we're talking about that happened last week, it is subjective by the police officer. Do you feel the guy on the ground is going for the gun? Do you feel the guy in the car has a gun or is going for a gun? And what are you basing that on when a young black man is 21 more times likely to be killed by a police officer than a... young white man, because I certainly understand your point that there may be more crime in the African-American community, but if a police officer has that in their brain, and we have concealed carry laws in this country, and you go up to a car, and in your mind you're saying, hey, there's more crime in the black community, I'm going to be more apprehensive here. It's all subjective, because that's not happening...
Right.
21 more
right.
times in the white community.
But if you know that you have nobody backing you up, the politicians, the chief, and all your bosses, if you make a mistake out there, you're going to hesitate, and you're going to be in a box. Okay? You're going to hesitate, and that guy's going to kill you, and you're going to be in a box. And then you have a widow... And children without a father or without a mother. And that's the problem here. Police officers have to have backing, but also each situation is a different situation. They should be and do get thoroughly investigated. And that's where the groups don't wait. Wait for the investigation before you start. We have a president that doesn't even wait. So what can I say? I mean, you can't police officers being quicker pulling the gun, but also, again, you can't blame the... You got to understand they're out there to protect themselves, too, and the public. And they hesitate. They're dead. That's the way it is. It's a split-second decision. It's not something you can plan out.
Tony,
I mean, it's a very difficult job. We're human beings.
Absolutely. And with only 2 minutes left, because I just want to get this in, the parallel you just drew, that we need to wait for the investigation, because I do keep hearing that, and I don't disagree with that. But when the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigations, headed by officers, headed by people in this field, come down in the same week and say Hillary Clinton should not be prosecuted. They can say all everything else, but the head of the FBI says Hillary Clinton should not be prosecuted. That's the investigation. That's the finality. And Congress pulls him in front of them and grills him for 3 hours, grilling the Attorney General today for 3 hours, and brings her up to try to strip her of her security clearance because they don't like what the FBI director said. Is that an agenda against her? Is that we don't care what the result of the FBI is. We're going to do what we want.
Well, you know something. First of all, the FBI should have had that taped, that grilling, and they didn't. Okay? They didn't have it taped. There was nothing on record what she said or what she didn't say. So that goes on both sides. One way, then again, it may be the other way. So, the way the government's running these days, the way it is, I don't trust anybody, I'll tell you the truth, you know, that's the way it is. Because when I see these situations, why did the FBI have a tape of what happened?
based
Why?
On that,
maybe they didn't want any proof.
Based
that
based on that suspicion, are the Black Lives Matter group or any other group allowed to be suspicious of a police investigation conducted by the police?
Exactly, they should. That's why they, this part of it, there should be more than the department itself investigating. But they do. They bring in the state police. They bring in the FBI. And I think it's a little difference between a police officer and Hillary Clinton. I mean, Hillary Clinton has a book on everybody. Let's face it. She has a book on everybody. She knows who did this and who didn't do this, and there's a lot of blackmailing going on. That's government, and that's politics.
And isn't it all, in the end, didn't we start by saying that when you lost your spot in the Christmas parade, it's
right.
Politics?
Right.
So there we are. I guess everybody's operating on politics. And
I know it does, and it's unfortunately, you know, unfortunate. You know, Scott, I try to be as honest as I can, and I give you straight shooting answers. And, you know, and a lot of people say, you're saying the wrong thing. You shouldn't say this. You shouldn't say, hey, look, I tell the truth, all right? I tell the truth, and that's the way it is. I'm a straight shooter, and that's why I'm very popular in this area.
And
because people know when I say something, Scott, it's the truth, and that's it. I'm not playing politics.
And you're very popular on this program, and I hope you come back because I enjoy these conversations.
Well, you give me a call. Maybe we'll do something around Christmas because maybe somebody will pick me up for the Christmas detail.
I would love this because you're not going to be doing this forever.
Scott, in October, I'll be 69.
69.
Yeah, but yesterday I ran 6 miles, so.
So you'll be into your 70s doing this. Tony Lepore.
My wife says that too.
Tony Lepore, the dancing cop. Thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye. Hey, that's all we have the time for today. This is Scott Spears heading for the dugout. Find us on Facebook by searching WWGH Marion, Ohio, 107.1 FM and Quite for exclusive